Random Jottings of Hinge and Bracket with Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Brackett. With friends and neighbors at Stacton Trestle, Daphne Hurd and David Griffin in The Dropout.
Many people seem to think that because Evadne and I live in a small country place like Stacton Trestle, we are able to pursue our interests free from distraction and interruption. But alas, this is not so. It really is surprising how many times a day we're disturbed by people hammering on the front door. Starts with the postman. You know, he knocks every morning to tell us that he's got his knuckles caught in the letterbox. Then the other morning there was a young man knocked just to tell us that the world was going to end on Thursday. And I said to Evadne, well, if it's got to happen, it may as well be on a Thursday, you know. Half day closing anyway. And he'd no sooner gone than a man from the water board arrived looking for a leak. And you could tell by his expression that he thought we had one and weren't letting on. He got terribly angry because Evadne, she'd let her creeping Jenny creep all over the storm drain. And our stopcock, well, I mean, it wasn't where he thought it should have been. Ah, mate, and so it goes on. But a week or two ago, we had a very distracting distraction. It all began about 11 o'clock in the morning. It was on the Wednesday, while Evadne was in the drawing room running over one of our favourite pieces, you see. On a tree by a river, a little tomtit sang willoo-tit-willoo-tit-willoo. And I said to him, dear, why do you sit singing willoo-tit-willoo-tit-willoo? Evadne, is that you making that extraordinary noise? And I'm not being funny about your singing, dear.
It's not me, Hilda. It's that pigeon sitting outside there on the windowsill.
Pigeon? Oh, I see. Oh, well, I never. Hello, Evadne. Go.
Oh, don't you start. Bad enough having to put up with the pigeon.
Oh, it's a lovely bird, Evadne.
It's a very rude bird.
Well, pigeons do tend to be a bit on the rude side now. That's why they're so unpopular with local councils.
Every time I start to play, that thing taps the glass with its beak and coos.
It's what they call getting the bird, dear.
I must say, I was rather hoping it would have gone before you got to going on the bird jokes.
You mustn't let it ruffle your feathers, dear.
Just get rid of it, will you, Hilda?
What do you want me to do, dear? Shoot it?
Just shoo it away.
Very well, if that's what you want. Shoo. Shoo. Go on, you silly bird. Fly off. No, it's no good, Evadne. It's just sitting staring at me through the glass as if I'm stark raving mad.
It's hardly surprising, dear. That is rather the impression you're giving. You must be more aggressive, Hilda. Frighten it.
Evadne, I am not in the habit of frightening birds. I have a bird bath on the lawn and half a coconut hanging from the rose arch for my tits. I suppose I could try holding one of the cats up to the window.
Which one, dear? The short-sighted one? The bone-idle one? Or the one that's frightened of feathers? No, just open the window, dear, and it'll fly away.
Oh, very well. No one shall say that I haven't done my best to humour you. There, it's open.
Well, has it done the trick?
It has. It's done it all right. It's walked straight in.
Quick, dear, quick. Pick it up and throw it out again.
Do lower your voice, Evadne. Suppose someone from the RSPCA were to hear you.
They can fly, you know, Hilda.
Do you know, dear, the way this bird's looking at you, I think it knows you.
Oh, don't be so utterly ridiculous.
It's not so ridiculous, dear. It's probably seen you going in and out of the town hall while it's been sitting up there on the roof. Because they lost you, did you know? People use them for carrying messages. They must be able to remember things.
I think you'll find the idea is to tie the messages to their legs, Hilda. They don't actually memorize them.
No, but they have to remember where they're going with them, don't they? I mean, it wouldn't be any good sending a message that didn't get where it was going. You could rely on the post office for that. Oh, look at him sitting on that bust of bees, eh? He's treating it like a pull-up for Carmen. Never mind. He looks a bit sleepy, you know. I think he's dozing off. He's probably exhausted himself. He's not had a morning like this before, you know, have you? You've not had a morning like this before, have you? Everybody waving and shouting at you.
Hilda, I think I could possibly put up with the patron. But I really am not going to be able to cope with you going on like that.
Well, I was only being sociable, dear. Birdie talk. I tell you what. Let's sing the Titwillow song all the way through for him and see what he does.
Don't you think that would be tempting Providence, Hilda?
Would you like to hear Auntie Evadne singing the...
All right, Hilda, dear, all right. Stop that and we'll do the song instead.
On a tree by a river, a little tomtit sang willow, titwillow, titwillow. And I said to him, dear keeper, why do you sit singing willow, titwillow, titwillow? Is it weakness of intellect, birdie, I cried, or a rather tough worm in your little inside? With a shake of his poor little head, he replied, oh, willow, titwillow, titwillow. He slept at his chest as he sat on that bough, singing willow, titwillow, titwillow. And a cool perspiration bespangled his brow, oh, willow, titwillow, titwillow. He sobbed and he sighed, and a gurgle he gave, as he tossed himself into a billowy wave. And a ripple arose from the suicide wave. Oh, willow, it willow, it willow.
Now I feel just as sure as I'm sure that my name isn't willow. Titwillow, titwillow.
That was blighted affection that made him exclaim, oh, willow, titwillow, titwillow.
So if you remain callous and obdurate, I may well do as he did, and you will know why.
Oh, I probably shall not explain as I know. Oh, willow, it willow, it willow.
Well, what do you know about me? That bird's dropped right off.
I'm glad. I think I like it better asleep.
Oh, that sounds like Maud. Oh, and I see she's got Tom with her. How nice.
I wish I'd never come with it. I wish you'd never come with me at all.
Yes, sounds like they're really enjoying each other's company.
Good morning, Dame Hilda. Doctor.
Morning, ladies.
Morning, Maud. Hello, Tom, dear.
Good morning.
I say, what's that you've got in your hand, Maud?
It's a bone of contention.
It's the door handle off my car.
It fell off. And I caught it.
How very adroit of you, Maud.
Well, go on, Ma. Tell him the rest.
I thought it couldn't be as simple as all that.
You see, I put me hand on the handle to open the door, and the handle came off and the door fell out. And I hung on to the handle.
That sounds like great presence of mind,
darling. He blames me. But we all know British workmanship. The bottom should never have fell out like that.
It wouldn't have done if you'd not been jumping about where you shouldn't have been.
And where was I supposed to be then, once that seat had broke?
The seat wouldn't have broke if you'd not thrown yourself back on it so sudden.
I didn't throw myself back on it. I got thrown when he hit the fence. And you can't blame me for that, my lad, because you had an hand on the steering wheel as well as me.
So you hit the fence? Well, lucky you weren't hurt. And I do hope the people weren't too angry about it.
Well, as I said to Tom, I said, it's a blessing as it happened where it did, Dame Hilda.
Oh, yes?
And where exactly did it happen, Maud?
You've no call to look at me like that, Doctor. It happened at home.
Well, you hadn't got very far then, had you?
About 50 yards, when she suddenly threw it into reverse. God knows how she did it. I was supposed to be driving.
Well, there's nowhere for a proper-sized person to put themselves these days.
And you've still got the door handle in your hand there after all that.
You know, it's funny the things we hangs on to in times of crisis.
Yeah.
Like old Mr. Glanville, when he were bombed in the war. When they dug him out of the rubble after 11 hours, he still had his rhubarb in his hand.
Well, Mr. Glanville, the school caretaker. I didn't know he'd been bombed. I thought he always looked like that.
They were in Dulwich during the doodle bugging. And just got in off his allotment one dinner time when Hitler struck. Yet he never let go his rhubarb.
Well, I suppose we've all got to have something to hang on to.
What an extraordinary morning you've had.
Well, I felt such a fool sitting on the bus with this handle in me hand. The conductor said to me, it must have been a nasty accident if that's all you've got left of the car. No real harm done, eh?
Except to poor Dad.
Oh, your father was in the car with you, was he?
No. Arthur was right behind the fence when we hit him.
Your father's all right, I hope, Tom.
Well, he's not hurt, Doctor. But he's covered in creosote.
Typical of that man. I've been trying to get him to do that fence for 2.5 years, and he has to choose the very morning we back into it.
Well, I expect you're a bit shaken, Maud, dear. Now, why don't you sit down for a minute or two, and I'll make us all a nice cup of tea.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Dame Hilda, but I'll not give no one the opportunity to say I neglected me duties. I'll make us all a nice cup of tea.
Well, just as you wish, dear.
Oh, I'm afraid Ma's rather upset my plans for this morning. You see, I was going to suggest that I run you two ladies down to the music emporium. All the building work's done there now, and we need a few decisions about the decorating.
Oh, good, Tom. Now, I've got one or two ideas about that.
And I've got one or two ideas about it as well, Daphne.
Then we shall have to talk about it, won't we, now?
Yes, we will. I do think the decor is most terribly important.
I quite agree with you, Dan.
I mean, it's terribly important that it's right.
I couldn't agree more, Hilda.
I mean, really right.
I know exactly what you mean, Hilda. You mean the way you want it.
Well, you must admit, dear, that is usually right.
That is a matter of opinion.
Well, not really, dear. It's a matter of natural good taste and a certain flair. But I don't want to argue about it now. I'm not in front of Tom.
Oh, don't mind me, ladies. Here. Did that thing sitting on that bust over there just move?
No, dear, did it? I wasn't really looking to tell you the truth.
What is it?
One surely doesn't need to be an ornithologist, Tom, to recognize that as a pigeon.
Is it alive?
If it were dead, dear, it would have rolled over by now and fallen off.
No, I mean, I saw it when I first come in, but I thought it must have been stuffed.
Evadne wishes it was, don't she?
Well, what's it doing in here?
She wishes she knew that as well, don't she?
It came down in the garden, Tom, and Hilda had to let the blessed thing in.
Well, it's got a ring on, you know.
Wedding or engagement, dear.
She's been like this all morning. Bird-brained.
Oh, I know perfectly. perfectly well what a ring is, Evadne. Of course I do.
No, that's a racing bird. It'll have got lost or tired. Something like that.
There you are, Evadne. Poor, lost, tired little bird. And you wanted me to throw it out of the window, you brute.
I'll get its number off that ring and we can find out who it belongs to.
Mind the harp, Tom.
Sorry.
It's all right, Tom. We all do it, dear. Even Hilda, though she flatly refuses to admit it.
Evadne, I have never once bumped into that harp since it's been in this room. And even if I had, it would be your fault. Because you made me bring it in here out of the hall, and I never bumped into it when it was in the hall.
That thing is in the way in here.
You said it was in the way out there.
It was in the way out there. It is also in the way in here.
Then where can I put it where it won't be in the way?
I've told you, at the Emporium.
But I don't want it at the Emporium, Evadne. I want it.
Then put it in your bedroom, dear.
In my bedroom? Oh, don't be so unreasonable. It would be in the way in there. You just listen, dear, and I'm beginning to master it. Oh, blast. I've broken another fingernail.
Now, look what you've done. You've woken that thing up as well.
That wasn't me that woke him there. That was Tom taking his number.
Probably thought I was a traffic warden.
Have you got it all right now?
Yep. Now, if I can use your phone, I'll go and ring... No pun intended.
None taken.
The Royal Pigeon Racing Association for you.
Royal, dear?
Oh, it is now, yes.
I didn't know the Queen went in for that sort of thing. Did you, Evadne?
No, it won't be her, dear, no. If it's any of them, it'll be the Queen Mother.
Well, I'll give them this number.
What, our phone number, now?
No, the pigeon's number, Dame.
Leave it to Tom, dear. He knows what he's doing.
Then they'll give me the address of the owner, and we can tell him it's here. See? Won't be a tick.
I say, aren't we having a lovely morning, Evadne? So much is happening.
Yes, dear, isn't it? And all we'd planned was a nice uninterrupted few hours at the piano.
Oh, Maud. Tea. Coffee, Dame Hilda. A nice cup of coffee.
I thought it was tea we were going to have, Maud.
It may have been tea we was going to have, Doctor, but it's coffee we got.
Don't we have any tea left then, Maud?
Well, we do, Dame Hilda, but last time I swept it up and put it back, you complained about the flux.
Coffee's fine, Maud. Coffee is fine.
And you don't have to hide that bird from me, neither. Tom's told me all about that.
Well, we weren't hiding it, Maud, there. It was sitting on Bizet there, fast asleep, in full view of everybody.
Well, I'm not cleaning up after it, and you needn't think I am. I've never been that fond of pigeons. Not since Arthur used to keep them and they ate my hat.
Your hat, your hat, dear.
A lovely straw I had for a wedding one time. All covered in little red berries, it were. And two of his tumblers took them for their tea.
His tumblers, dear, sounds very acrobatic.
Ooh, he had all sorts. Tumblers, pouters, and a ruddy blue checker white flake cuff. Nasty birds with nasty names and nasty natures. And nobody but Arthur would have had the gall to like them. I'm surprised at you, Dame Hilda, allowing that thing into your lovely home.
Well, it's only temporarily, dear, just till we find it over.
Of that you can be absolutely certain.
You see, even the doctor don't like it.
It's not that I don't like it, Maud. It's just that I happen to believe that in nature there's a place for everything, and the place for that bird is not in our drawing room.
Who's a poor little pigeon, then?
Yes. But the main reason I shall be glad to see the back of that bird is because of what it's doing to Hilda.
I got through.
Oh, any luck, Tom, dear?
Of course. I spoke to the owner's wife. That thing's lost. Shouldn't be anywhere near here. Anyway, she'll get him to come and collect it at the weekend.
At the weekend? But it's only Wednesday, dear. What are we supposed to do with it in the meantime?
Don't look at me, Hilda. That, as they say, is your pigeon.
And don't look at me neither, Dame Hilda. You know I'd do anything for you, but I'm not nursemaid of pigeon, not after what they've done to my hat.
Don't worry, Dame. As long as that bird is still here when the man arrives. Now, if he comes all the way from Normanton and finds it gone, he'll kill you.
Yeah, there you are, Hilda. A nice change for you. You can spend a few days bird-watching.
Now, I was going to suggest that we took a stroll down to the Emporium to settle that colour scheme.
You'll have to do it alone, Evadne. I can't heed the bird. Not with more hostile and free timid cats.
No, you don't. I know you. Duck the responsibility of choosing and do nothing but grumble afterwards. Well, I'm not having it. You can bring the bird with you.
Oh, what a good idea, Doctor. Get it out of the house.
And how do you suppose I'm going to carry it, Evander?
Stick it on your shoulder like Long John Silver.
I'll see if I can find a cardboard box.
I am not carrying a cardboard box.
Here, tell you what. I've got an old goldfish bowl back home. We could pop it in the goldfish bowl, put a plate over the top, and make a string handle to carry it by. How about that?
And what, Tom, dear, do you imagine people would think if they saw me walking down the high street, swinging a goldfish bowl with a pigeon in it and a plate over the top?
They'd probably think you've got an Arts Council grant, dear. You know, like that man who wandered around carrying a plank.
Perhaps they'd think you'd a pigeon what ate goldfish instead of the berries off people's hats.
This conversation is getting rather distasteful, especially to that pigeon. Oh, look at him. He's gone all droopy. You don't know which would be worse, do you, little darling, to be left with three pussycats and your Auntie Maud, or carried and dissected in a goldfish bowl with a plate over your head on?
Why don't you take the kettle?
Kettle, Maud? Did you say kettle, dear?
Well, it's got everything you need. A handle to hold it by, a lid to cover it, and a spout so's it can breathe.
And then somebody says to me, why are you carrying that kettle? And I say, I've got my pigeon in it. I mean, talk about silly Suffolk. Now, until that man arrives, everything else will have to wait. I'm housebound with that bird. Well, over the next few days, we all grew quite fond of the bird, you see. Even Maud soon stopped calling it Ratbag. And she bought it a big plastic dog bone, though whether she expected it to perch on it or even out of it. All three cats, once they'd got over the initial shock, were very brave and eventually stopped hiding from it altogether. And it lived in a cardboard box in the kitchen. And it slept. It slept on one of Evadne's old wincy etnitis. Well, I'm sure she wouldn't have minded, and I did give it a thorough wash before I slipped it back in the drawer. Mind you, on the Friday morning, there was a bit of a scene. When Evadne discovered that it had got into the bathroom and made rather a mess of her loofah. So it was with rather mixed feelings that we finally welcomed the bird's owner. Mind, the bird didn't welcome it at all.
Blasted bird. Now do you think I'm going to get it down from the roof, then?
Well, couldn't you just call it?
Call it? I'd call it, all right. But not in front of ladies.
Perhaps we could lure it with food.
Oh, yes, it loves chocolate.
Oh, you've not been giving it chocolate, I hope.
Well, if Adney has, yes, I have. But just a little bit, you know. It adores those chocolate-covered peanuts, didn't you, Nick?
Oh, blasted bird.
Would you like me to get you a ladder?
You don't think I'm going up after it, do you? Oh, I'd have thought you'd have had it in a box, ready and waiting.
It was ready and waiting till you arrived.
I'll tell you somewhat about that bird. It's useless. Always getting lost. Never won a race. Never even finished one. You're useless! Bad blood, you see. His brothers are just the same. Your brothers are just the same! You old clutch. Useless. A waste of time. You're a waste of time! Oh, forget it. Let's go.
What do you mean, forget it?
I mean, forget it. Leave it.
Luckily, I had a business appointment here, any road. I'd not have bothered else. Well, it's your last chance. Are you coming down or not? Ah, stuff it. I do beg your pardon, ladies, but that thing drives me wild. Well, I'll be off. Thanks for ringing.
But what are we supposed to do with it?
Do with it? I'll tell you what to do with it. If you can catch it, put it in a pie.
What an obnoxious little man.
Don't worry, Hilda. It'll be all right. They'll return to the wild, you know.
Oh, look, look, there's another one with it now.
Oh, there you are.
Oh, and they're going, look. They're off. They're disappearing into the trees over there. You know, I think I'm really going to miss that bird.
I have to confess, Hilda, I was beginning to get rather attached to it myself.
Oh, look. Look, both birds, they're circling, and they're turning, and they're coming back this way! Quick, in at the indoors, dear, and shut that drawing room window.
That was The Dropout, a further extract from the random jottings of Hinge and Bracket. As usual, we welcome Daphne Hurd and David Griffin. Our thanks also to this week's guest, David Goodison, and to the members of the Stacton Trestle Music Appreciation Society for their contribution. The script was by Gerald Frau and production by John Dias. Thank you.